Hail cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon Kelly. That's your full name. How are you?
Forget my full name, Josh. I want to now be up throughout the month of December. I want to be referred to as Festive Brandon.
Okay.
We're in the midst of the festive fixtures. I'm Festive Brandon. Okay. Welcome to Always Cheating. You know, maybe we're having a bad FPL week. Maybe you're having a good FPL week. My job on this podcast is to be upbeat and high energy.
Yeah. And likewise, I told you, before we started recording, both of us have had, you and I are both on a run of three consecutive, like deep red arrows, like whatever the red is that's so dark, it like turns black, you know, and it's like, it's whatever, the like blood red,
it's like the blood from a Frank Miller comic book. It is just actual black ink.
Yeah. Imagine like a Sin City cover, and that's really what we're. So, as I was saying to you before we started recording, I am now, I don't know if this is maturity or just getting older or what, but like I have now a like finite reserve of anger. I can still very easily get very, very angry at fantasy, and I can carry it with me, and it could take a while for me to shake off even when the matches are done. But I can't carry it for 2 days any longer. And so Saturday I was like really bummed out and really unhappy. And then this morning rolled around and nothing really went better. If anything, Kane just like made it so much worse, because I was like, this is what a disaster. But I couldn't really bring myself to get angry. I was just like, whatever, this is just, and even like recording, like for the tonight's pod, I was like, well, I'm not going to come in angry, because I don't feel that way anymore. I'm just like, I'm sort of, the thing I was thinking about, at least in my like personal case, was that like, it's just, there's like a moment when you, so in my case, I got up to 7K 3 weeks ago, right? Like a very, like if you told me right now, I could have 7K as my finish this season. Like I would take it, right? Like that's just a great, like anything inside the top 10K is just an awesome.
Great. You're getting like 6 months of your life back. That's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I just done. So I've had three consecutive, I went 7 to 12 to 19 and I'm at 33. Which is not bad, but it feels very bad because it's so hard to get up that high. And then you're like, God, it's like that old Price is Right game, where you had the mountain, you were climbing up the mountain, you had the yodeling
Yeah, I remember the game.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like I just got there and now I just got knocked down like three notches. And I have to like find a way to like motivate myself to go up again, on those notches. And it's just, but what I was thinking about was that it's only really hugely frustrating if I think of it through the lens of like, I'm going to win FPL this year. Right. Mm-hmm. And from that lens, it's like, I probably not now, I wasn't going to before, but I could maybe kind of trick myself for a minute. But if I think of it through the lens of, all of the mini leagues I'm in, all of the, the like leagues with friends that I'm in, where, some of them are cash leagues, some of them are just like fun leagues that we do. And in all of those, I've fallen, but I'm still within, with 23 weeks left, we're talking about leagues where it's 15, 20 points. I mean, that's a game week's worth of rising and falling. And so it was good perspective. It just reminded me that, you don't want to always think of the macro when it comes to this kind of stuff, right? You don't want to think about your overall rank. It's not helpful or it doesn't make things more fun. It's more fun to think about all the various leagues you're in with your actual friends than like FPL writ large.
I think that's right. It's more fun to think about, those mini leagues that you care about in the near term, because your overall rank can easily sort itself out over the course of a couple of months. That's the difficult thing. Like Josh, you're talking about the ground that you lost is only going to be harder and harder to get back, much like trench warfare. Mm-hmm. And, but even still, Festive Brandon will tell you, we've got a lot of game weeks that are about to come thick and fast.
We need an always cheating. I want an always cheating Christmas sweater, and it just says Festive Brandon on it, and and you've got like a party hat on or something like that. I like actually one of those. Those little hats. Like the little tiny ones, like little top hats that you. You kind of wear like to the side of your head.
Like a prison yard snitch hat, like Homer Simpson wore.
Yeah, exactly. I think that'd be a good look for you.
Yeah, that could be a good look. I was just going to say, though, about the, sort of like looking forward. For me, it's sometimes you get, you just get buried in thinking about how did I get here? If you had a run of bad weeks, you think, how did I get here? And you're always looking backwards. And, you know, FPL is a game. And if a game is going to be fun, it has to be fun to play. So to play, you have to look forward. So to enjoy the labor of clawing back that rank, to enjoy the labor of beating those mini league rivals, that's really what we have to think about this week.
Yeah. And I think that's right. I mean, you just have to, I mean, in some ways, Brandon, you've unwittingly played right into the theme of this week's pod, right? Which is blank slate. Tabula rasa, blank slate. Theme we've been talking about this year, which is to look at players with fresh eyes and not think about what they've done when you've owned them 3.5 seasons ago, what you know about their positioning and under Pep Guardiola or whatever, what are they doing right now? And you know, of course, your past experience can inform things. I mean, especially if the underlying stats are not telling you anything. Like, it's, you know, it's like a player like, we'll talk about him later on the pod, but a player like Bernardo Silva is really interesting, right? We have several years of kind of evidence what kind of player he is. He's also definitely playing further forward right now, but he also scored two goals and 0.2 XG, right? And so it's like there's a lot of different ways to look at that, you know, and it does challenge you a little bit. And so I think that's actually where the blank slate approach really helps, because it's like, all right, like if I'm just like, you know, just starting fresh and thinking about this guy, you know, what do I know about his history? You know, you sort of like give yourself like a, you, like, okay, here's an example for me. I was debating between Kane and Son a couple of weeks ago, and I went Kane over Son, which was kind of like, you know, pretty catastrophic in terms of the kind of very, you know, I moved Ronaldo out, right? And so that like, not like, you know, not only did I miss his brace, but now I want to bring him back in. And so it was almost like I lost a transfer there. Son would have freed up 2 million, which would have made it easy for me to go to Jota a couple of game weeks ago without having, you know, without like ahead of at least his second kind of big return, the late goal that he scored in the midweek last week. And, you know, I think the real reason that I had done that was at the end of last season, I'd gone for Son over Kane down the stretch, and I felt like it cost me a little bit. Like, I just cost me a couple spots in some of the leagues that I was in because Kane was really strong in the stretch and Son wasn't. And it feels like with those two, there's always kind of a – you'd think, like, because they play different positions, it would be easier to split the difference. But it's so interesting with them, you know? It feels like it's like you never – there's very rarely a moment when they're both the player to own, like where you want to have both of them. The beginning of last season, you had that a little bit, but in general, it's like when one is up, the other one is down, and it's hard to get it totally right.
Yeah, and we all thought it goes into the tabula rasa blank slate. With Kane, we thought we didn't need a blank slate because we already knew who he was. Forget the first couple of months of the season. That isn't the real Kane. Right. We know from seasons past who the real Kane is.
Yeah. Scored like 20 goals in the international break, right? You know, like if he'd done nothing over the third international break, I don't know if I really would have considered him, but it was kind of hard to look past like the 10 goals he scored and be like, you know, and just be like, oh, that's that you just totally San Marino it, because he's still scoring goals. You'd think that would give him some confidence.
Well, yeah, right. Whether it's Albania or San Marino, what we're talking about with Kane at that point was his mentality and his form. Some people may or may not like that word. So Kane, I think, was a failure of tabula rasa, where we maybe should have been blank slate. And it kind of goes hand in hand with Bernardo Silva, where we also thought we knew the story with him. So I'm looking forward to talking about Bernardo Silva, especially coming up.
Exactly. So we'll actually make some kind of we'll issue some opinions on Bernardo versus Gundogan versus Foden and Mason Mount, who I think is also needs to be part of that conversation too, especially because I'm not sure that Leeds have more than one healthy defender going into, I guess maybe two if you include Ailing, going into next weekend.
He's a half. And
so I think that's
Ailing
really,
is one half.
He's one half, exactly. I will allow your Ailing slander on this pod, you know?
Okay, just this one?
Yeah, just that one, exactly, yeah. So we'll talk more about that in a minute, but just the point is, we all come into when it comes to these transfers, when it comes to players that we think we know something about, we all have a lot of stuff, like a lot of junk that we bring to the table, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, is it wisdom or is it junk that's dragging you down? And I think in general, you are better off if you just look at the story of the season so far, right? And look at how these people are playing and not sort of bring all of that old junk to the table. In some ways, the prices of these players will tell you what you need to know. And you know, you yeah. know, it sort of gives you a sense. I mean, yeah, like if this is your first season, I mean, because, you know, we're not going to like start off completely fresh. You know, it's not like we're just like going to come into it like not knowing like how to like set up a formation or anything like that. But I think
we'll come in not knowing how to pronounce any of their names. That's
it's still a problem. It's still a problem. But I think you and I have actually done this fairly successfully at times this year. I mean, neither of us were really five at the back people going into this season. And now, at least we were as a few weeks ago, and now
just in time for five at the back to melt die. Away.
Exactly. And now five in the middle is the new, is the new thing being bandied about. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. So, you know, obviously we've got one more game week to go. We'll talk more about the Kane stuff later. I don't really know what to say. I mean, I don't know if you watched any of that Spurs game, Brandon. It's weird because they're actually winning. I'm looking at it totally through the lens of Kane, but they're like winning like all these matches. You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I did watch some of it, and I actually was a little concerned about Spurs when Reguilón went down because the quality of their wingbacks at that point was just severely diminished. I don't really rate Tanganga that high as an attacking wingback. And then you've got Sessegnon coming in, who, you know, has yet to really find a place in that Spurs team since the Fulham move. And then Doherty is another oddball player for Spurs. But somehow they were able to push the ball far enough forward against Norwich to get Son and Lucas into those positions. So I'm feeling great if I'm a Spurs fan in real life.
Yep.
If I'm carrying Heung-min Son, I also feel great. Yep. If I'm carrying Kane, I'm really looking forward to what the discussion is in this episode and how I will get rid of him.
Let's talk about getting rid of him in a minute. Cause if I'm not careful, you know, that'll be 20 minutes. And so we'll wait and talk about that in a minute. I don't really want to talk about my game week too much though, because I mean, really outside of Trent and Mo, there's not a lot to talk about. I mean, I've got Damari Gray coming off the bench. The Ivan Toney COVID thing was a massive bummer. And just obviously there's no, nothing to be said about that beyond that. But, you know, it's a bummer for that match in particular, because I think he would have done it very well against that kind of decimated Leeds defense. And then he plays Watford on Friday, right? And he's going to miss that match too. And so it's like a real double blow. And now it's like it feels like a hole I've got to fill too, because I have Rafinha still, and Rafinha plays Chelsea, Man City, and Liverpool in three of their next four. I mean, it's not, I don't mind starting him. Like, I think, like, I'm not even sure it's the biggest problem in my team, but instead of maybe turning him into a fun player, I'm like, do I have to solve this Toney problem first, you know? And so it's kind of a tricky spot.
Yeah, I'm not doing much better. I'm on 35 points right now with Livramento coming in for Toney. Vardy started on the bench for a one-pointer. I held on to Antonio for his assist, so thumbs up. Reece James with the zero-pointer. Mendy with one. Like you, Josh, it was just all down to my Liverpool players. Thank goodness neither of us took the bait on the Diogo Jota captaincy, because that would have probably been, it was hard enough watching Jota on the pitch against Wolves after that goal line clearance by Cody. It was hard enough watching Jota and just thinking about what was going on in his brain for the next 15 minutes while he was on the pitch. Cause I don't understand why he wasn't just like keeled over throwing up from not embarrassment, but just regret. I mean, he's a professional. These things happen. You've got to move on. You've got to gut it out.
Sure.
I was feeling worse for Jota than I was for my poor old fantasy team.
Yeah, it was really just kind of a I don't know. I don't know if he was like a little, because he missed a big chance on a Trent cross too in the first half.
Right, like that header that went just wide of the post.
Yeah, which I feel like if he's not playing his old club, you know, I mean, it's like maybe it's always foolish to read it in the psychology of these guys. But I mean, you know, he was like a, you know, he helped Wolves come up, right? I mean, it's like he must be like a little more keyed up. Right for that match,
definitely, you know, definitely, and you cruise into the box with full possession of the ball. The goalkeeper is many yards behind you, and all you have to do is pick your spot to get it beyond.
But then you look up in the stands, Brandon, and you see that old lady who served you tea at the nearby restaurant, get distracted.
So all eyes here are on Everton Arsenal, because I've got Ben White and Saka when you've got Ramsdale and Damari Gray. So let's see where the chips fall. I mean, any way you slice it, I'm not getting a green arrow. It's just not happening. I'm down 90K this week.
Are you really? Yeah. Wow. It's so interesting. Like, I don't know how I didn't. I think it's because when you get to like in that top range, like your team is very similar to everybody else or something like that. But I don't know how I've only fallen 10K. Like, because I feel like my game week is equally crud. I'm on 36 points out of your 35, so it must be that 1 point that's making the. That's
yeah, it's just like the teams are so. The teams are so tightly packed, just like through the top million, I'm sure that 10 points is just is a cascading effect.
That's true. And if you can fall 90, it means you can rise 90 in the next game week, you know.
Precisely. So.
And you've got two transfers too, right?
I do, yeah. So I opted to just roll with Vardy, who I guess we couldn't have been too surprised that he got rotated given Rodgers' comments. And I mean, I'm kind of encouraged that he was rested ahead of the Newcastle fixture this coming weekend, because that is...
It's a great fixture. Yep.
It's a good one. But the Tony COVID kind of screws up what I initially wanted to do with my two frees, which was to dump both Benrahma and Saka. So now it looks like I may just use one free transfer to fix the Tony issue and then come back to what to do with these new form attacking midfielders in game week 17.
Interesting. You couldn't turn like Tony into Dennis and then use that million to turn Benrahma into Bernardo Silva or something like that.
I'm like 0.2 short of that.
I think we actually talked about this.
Yeah, we covered this.
We went to a Nets game last night. Yeah.
I've never seen a player drop in price so quickly as Saeed Benrahma. I mean, we saw the writing on the wall. It shouldn't be a surprise, but you know, had all of this sort of come to pass two game weeks ago, I could have afforded it with change in my pockets, but now I'm in a situation where, but I do truly believe what the FPL general says is just regardless of price, there's always a way to do it. And maybe there isn't always a way to get exactly the two players that you want, but there is always a way to solve the problem and get at least one of the players that you want. So I'm not sweating it too much.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, and Bomo might even be an option now too, right?
Because he's going to be playing farthest forward.
Yeah, exactly. And he looked pretty. Finally got an attacking return, picked up an assist, and looked pretty dangerous. I feel like it was like Wolves were not. I mean, Leeds were not defending well until he had the ball, and suddenly they turned into like AC Milan, you know, circa 2003 or something like that. It was like a totally different, totally different side. So it was. Anyway, so let's you know, that's enough recap. Let's move on to the always cheating Super League. Obviously, we have one more match to go tomorrow, but let's just see where we are as of today. Yeah. Okay, this is a snapshot, Brandon. Yeah. And you can see the widespread of points already. I mean, this is a week where, I mean, there's someone in this league who has 80 points, and I think if you had sort of got it just right, let's say you had Bernard, maybe you had two Man City midfielders and Son. That would probably get you there with when you include Salah's points and trends and things like that. So, so anyway, let's read out this top 10 though. It's actually 11 because we got a two-way tie for 10th. 11th is Ryan Quinn, Brennan, also an always cheating patron. In 10th is Avinash Jagtap. In 9th is Munda Jr. In 7th is Hendrik Mattsson. In 6th, actually tied in 7th, is Daniel Mind. In 6th is Tor Hegna. In 5th is Ben Einav. In fourth is Khalid Musique. In third, Matt Alone. And second is Stuart Dudley. And in first is Daniel Mason Abraham.
And Daniel Mason Abraham still clinging on to number one overall in the world, despite 40 points. So just as you're saying, Josh, a widespread of points, how big of an impact does it make? It really just kind of comes down to how well people on either side of you in the world did. So yep. Daniel's lead, though, in the world is now down to just 2 points. So things are getting quite exciting. If you want to join the Super League, go to alwayscheating.com. There's the league code there and a link to auto join. And while we're talking about managers to celebrate, let's move to Patreon real quick and congratulate Paul Parsons, our Patreon member who won the month of November and is our Dean's List Manager of the Month. Congratulations, Paul. You're always cheating. Make Fantasy Fun Again t-shirt is in the mail. But Josh, December is Patreon Pledge Month. What does that mean exactly?
Well, much like NPR, Brandon, we try not to push people to support the pod very often. I know that drives people crazy, and there's a lot of people asking you for stuff, you have Patreon and a million other things out there right now. It's, you know, this is the economy we live in now, Brandon, you know. So if you got some kind of Christmas bonus or you're just feeling like you're in the holiday spirit and you want to support the pod, this is a month when we will recommend you do that, and you get access to, we'll be doing bonus pods. So you and I were actually talking last night about our schedule for the holidays. I have done a like Christmas Eve or Boxing Day Patreon pod multiple years in a row. It's kind of, you know, it seems like it's hard to do, and then it's like 8:30 and everybody's asleep and exhausted and you're like, oh, I can just pop my computer. So, you know, we'll be doing content throughout the holidays, obviously into the new year as well. You know, this is to say, you know, custom content for our Patreon supporters. And obviously the Slack is active. I got a nice little boost of support from the Slack on Saturday, which was helpful. I was craning off the edge a little bit, and they helped to pull me back, Brandon, you know, from my bout of immaturity. So that was useful. So you get the week interview newsletter and lots of other stuff as well. Just a quick shout out to our newest patrons, Sam Karch and Edwin Williams. So if you want to support the pod, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Let's take a break and we'll get back and talk about some blank slate players.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Brad, we're back. Today's topic is blank slate, reconsidering the FPL assets we've ignored. I think we're in an interesting moment right now because, as we said at the start of the pod, the really big at the back doesn't seem to be working. I think you could argue that being big at the back would work if you are allowed to have two Liverpool defenders. But at the moment, with Jota in such great form and under 8 million, it's really hard not to have him. And then, of course, Salah and Trent are almost unquestionable in any fantasy team, right? Because they've just been so good and so consistent this year. But it feels like in some ways we're moving away from the four at the back. And we have this moment now where the teams that have the best fixtures right now over the next 3 weeks are, in my opinion, Liverpool, Man City, Man United, and Chelsea.
Yeah.
So the best four teams have the best run of fixtures. How do we get them all in? And I think that's really the difficult question. And so I don't know. What do you think about what's happening? Like, what have we seen the last couple of weeks that maybe surprised you? I mean, both of us obviously had a couple of red arrows. And so where do you think that maybe things didn't go right for you, or that you maybe, I don't know, just didn't see coming?
Well, I guess what I didn't see coming is Chelsea struggling a bit defensively, like they had the last two game weeks. And we had come to just like be so reliant upon both attacking and clean sheet returns from Chelsea. That was a little bit of a surprise. And then I think Manchester City really emerging as a force. They're clearly one of the best teams in the league. We don't really need to discuss that, but I think the last couple of weeks were like, oh right, yeah, if we're not invested in Manchester City apart from Cancelo, now is exactly the time to address that. So when I'm thinking about these top four teams, you mentioned Manchester United, City, Chelsea, and Liverpool, I'm trying to kind of divide them up into per each of those teams, do I want to be invested in the front or in the back? What is the priority? Like Chelsea, you got to go with the back. They're struggling to score goals. Manchester United, I think what I'm curious to see, and I think you brought this up last week, is will there come a time in the next couple of game weeks where Manchester United is also a defensive investment for fantasy? But right now it just seems like, do you or do you not get in Ronaldo is the question there. And then Man City and Liverpool, it's more complicated because they have enticing assets in the front and the back.
And I think what makes it even more complicated with all four of these clubs are those are the four clubs that are in the Champions League this week as well. And so I was taking a quick look while you're talking there just to see when everybody plays. And Man City plays Leipzig on Tuesday. Liverpool play Milan on Tuesday.
Home or away? Can you give me home or away on those matches?
Yeah, let's see. Man City are away when they play Leipzig. As are Liverpool. Actually, they're both away. Interestingly, so that's kind of, you know, I mean, in Liverpool's case, they are free and clear, and they're ahead. I was curious though in the table for Man City. And Man City are they're clear as well. They're 4 points clear of PSG now. So in neither case do the teams need to field a full-strength squad. Now, that didn't stop Man City or, you know, Liverpool a couple weeks ago from playing Salah and Mane 70 minutes. And so it's not clear to me that we're going to, and this happened last year with as well. So it's not clear to me, you know, what kind of team he's going to put out there for what could be a difficult, although Leipzig just fired their manager. So I don't really, you know, it's kind of a weird, oh, actually, no. Jeez, it's talking about Milan. Sorry, I got like five tabs going here, Brandon. I'm like that GIF of Charlie from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, you're trying to make all the connections.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, forgive me. So,
all right, let's back it up. We're just trying to figure out of these four teams who are in the Champions League, is anyone highly subject to rotation because of a must win match midweek? Right.
Right, and so we have on Wednesday Chelsea. Are at Zenit and kind of Man United are home. We have one home team out of the four for the final round of fixtures. They play Young Boys at home. And let's see, Man United are 3 points clear of Villarreal. So, and the goal difference is only one. So I think that Villarreal, and although they actually beat Villarreal in both their matches. And I think with the Champions League, if you are tied, but you won both the head to heads, then you, are the leader of the group. So I think Man United might be like a dead rubber for them as well, but they have the new manager. And so I think that, you know, it's possible that they feel the stronger side just as he sort of tries to figure out, you know, what's going to work with the club.
Sure. They treat it a bit like a training session just to get their tactics down in a real competitive match. I can definitely see that happening.
And then Chelsea finally is the one that actually does have this is like a little mini Champions League preview here for you, Brandon. Chelsea is the team that actually do have some proper stakes because they are tied on points with Juve. And so they're away at Zenit, which could be a, you know, tricky match, possibly. And so they may have to field a stronger side. The only reason I bring all this up is that, a lot of these players are going to be starting to rise in price. I mean, I think Mount, as we record this pod, has just risen in price. A lot of, Bernardo, we might see multiple price rises and multiple price drops, right? You were talking about the Benrahma drops. And, I think that we could see Ivan Toney drop. And so it's a really tricky thing. And so what do you think about making transfers today or tomorrow ahead of 2 days of Champions League matches?
I don't love it. I mean, if your move is going to be Ivan Toney to Emmanuel Denny on Watford, then sure, go ahead and do that. Sure. I don't think there's going to be too much trouble with midweek news for those teams.
Sure.
But if you're targeting a Manchester City mid, I just genuinely want to see what the lineup is. That I'm looking to see whose form continues into the Champions League. It's like who could we possibly deem due arrest? That's the bigger thing for me with Mason Mount and Bernardo.
I totally agree. And in the thing that makes things more complicated is we're not just talking about them playing at midweek and then again at the weekend. Next week, you have another midweek round of Premier League fixtures. So you're going to run right into what is, effectively like five, it's a five matches in 3 weeks for these clubs. Just a lot of, and actually six because there's Champions League before. So you just have like a ton of different matches I think Salah's played every single one of these matches so far. At some point, it would be great if tomorrow was the day that he got his, or Tuesday was the day he got his rest. We'll see. I mean, the guy never really wants to rest. And I've heard some talk that there's, until he leaves for the African Cup of Nations, they're just going to kind of keep playing him. I don't really know if I totally buy that, because you don't just rest a guy for March. You rest them because they're wiped out and you want them to look good in the following match. So I think that there's a reasonable chance that Salah does get rested on Tuesday. It wouldn't really make a difference anyway. I don't think I have the courage to not captain Salah at the moment.
No, he's had one blank this entire season, and his assist to Origi is one of the great assists that FPL managers would celebrate like it was a goal.
That was a great moment too. I it's funny, I'm not a Liverpool fan, but I celebrated that. It was such a cool,
Wolves needed and much richly deserved to lose that match the way they played. And,
they had nothing going forward.
Liverpool should have put them to the sword earlier in that match.
They defended well, but it was such a defensive performance, right? There was really it was like defend well and then occasionally let a Adama Traore try to make something happen right on the break, and that was kind of the whole. It was very similar to what they looked like under Nuno, right? It was kind of the same style.
And like going back to Manchester City, just watching them play Watford this weekend, I was like, oh yeah, I guess Bernardo Silva is playing in the number nine. This is really kind of incredible. We've really come all the way with Bernardo. And then a couple minutes later, I'm like, I guess Jack Grealish is the number nine. Oh, wait, it's Phil Foden. They were like doing like a three-man weave there. It was so fluid. And I think that that's going to get us. I want to talk about that a little bit when we get into the is Gundogan even in the conversation discussion.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at the heat maps for Gundogan and Bernardo before this. I actually dropped him into the running order, Brandon, so you can get a little peek yourself there.
Okay.
But it's pretty interesting. And so, before we get to that though, Shiv, just sort of on the theme of, what's the story right now? And what's the story of the season at this moment, right? The story is something that changes all the time. And you have to be ready to adapt, right? That's part of this whole blank slate approach, is not sticking around too long. I feel like, personally, after these three red arrows, I mean, you can sometimes, you can take a little bit of bad luck and turn it into, and you can kind of get over your head and start making crazy moves and sort of lose your confidence a little bit. I mean, right. I think for me, the concern I have is that I feel like I'm not being creative enough in my transfers, that I've just been very, very kind of template. It's like, all right, I've got, a 6 million spot to fill. All right, I'm going to get Connor Gallagher. It's like I feel like all I'm doing right now is grabbing the guy who scored points the week before. And it just doesn't feel like I'm looking forward enough. And so that's when I'm trying to kind of change my brain going into that.
Another way to think about it too is like you're trying to plug a square hole with a square peg. as mm-hmm. and I think another way to think about FPL management is you don't always have to do the like for like. Right. If you've got a problem with Gallagher, you don't need another lower mid-price mid. Maybe you need Phil Foden, and you need to figure out how to make that work. And that's harder. That's harder management in the middle of a busy week where you're trying to live your life. But I think that's why we're seeing a lot of managers rise right now, is they figured out how to make it work to get those players that they wanted, not necessarily the players that fit the particular vacancy that they had going into a deadline.
I agree. I mean, if I weren't such a family man, I would I'd be on three green arrows in a row.
Yeah, you know?
That's my cross to bear. I think that Shiv's question about where do we put our money says huge of the back seems dead and the forwards are doing nothing. I really think that I would consider. I have not typically been a five across the middle manager, but I think there's a real logic to it right now. I think there's, you could really make an argument. MG has this question about who are the best budget mids at the moment. He says Jota, Bernardo, Foden, Mount, Bowen, all providing points. You kind of look at that and you think about Chelsea having a really nice run. Man United, a little trickier. I'm not going to talk myself into Fred. I promise you that's not going to happen. Man United are a little tricky because their forwards are a little more expensive. I guess that Sancho's price still hasn't fallen quite enough for me to consider him. I need that to fall like another 1.5 million before I'm really there. But, Mason Mount is playing awesome and the Chelsea have a great run of fixtures. Jota is almost like a given, like he's just in your squad, right? So you basically are talking about Jota and Salah who are just in there, and then you've got three spots, maybe it's two if you if you don't want to play five across the middle, right? You don't want to I'm not going to bring in a 7 million Bernardo Silva as like an auxiliary bench player. It's just not in my opinion the best use of your money. Like rotation doesn't happen that much. I worry a little bit about the COVID stuff now too, if we're going to start seeing, just because the winter and cold weather places, you tend to see some rises. And so maybe that is something we need to be a little more conscious of, is just having at least playing players. Like if you're sort of taking that fix your weakest link approach, and it's actually very interesting to think about, because that, through that lens, solving the Ivan Tony problem would be the biggest issue, right? Because part of me is like, maybe I just throw Tony on the bench for a couple of weeks, and then I have him, when he returns. But if another player gets it, then I could really be screwed if we see some rotation, this weekend.
This is why Josh Brownhill is going nowhere for me, Josh. Right. Brownhill stays.
Sissoko for me as well. Picked up an assist last week. He might end up starting my team this weekend. Like, who knows? The question about, we just had a lot of questions about Man City midfielders, and the question about Silva and Gundogan, it's sort of interesting. I was talking about the heat map a minute ago, and I think it's interesting to look at these. I just looked at the last 6 weeks because I thought that was kind of instructive. That was really when Grealish and Foden were battling some injuries, and it was really the Gundo Bernardo show, which it still was yesterday. I mean, Grealish couldn't do anything right, unfortunately. Just had a really tough match. I don't know, like he didn't finish well, whether that means he played poorly or not.
And he did the Jota hold my beer segment of the Premier League action. You thought one horrendous miss was something, watch me do four or five of them. Who is going to play more inside their own head? Is it going to be Jota or Grealish?
And Grealish does feel like he's pressing a little bit and maybe trying to impress a little bit. So to me, I think it's you look at the heaviness for Silva and Gundogan, and Silva is very much in that Riyad Mahrez territory, like just really occupying that right flank. It's no surprise given where he scored a lot of his goals, and the goal that he scored on the Cancelo assist in the Manchester derby is a goal that comes to mind immediately, right? Him sort of on that right flank and then sneaking in to the post, and he's just such a creative, interesting, he's a very interesting player. Like he's the kind of guy who will just randomly get, in previous seasons he would just randomly get a hat trick like 6 weeks in. I remember Nick Wright, our longtime producer patron, like he was convinced, he's a very data forward FPL manager, and he was just convinced that it was Bernardo's time, and he sort of stuck with Bernardo through thick and thin. And so Bernardo has traditionally been a player who looks like he should be doing more from an FPL's perspective, hasn't really done it. Gundogan, meanwhile, is occupying a lot of the left flank, which is the thing that concerns me a little bit, because he was a lot of that would happen without Grealish there, which is where Grealish and Sterling can occupy a lot of space. And so I wonder, and Foden, right, exactly. So Grealish, Foden, and Sterling are all kind of in that spot where Gundogan has been thriving the last few weeks. And so I would expect him to move a little further backwards with those guys all healthy now, you know, and maybe not be.
You're expecting Gundogan to move farther backwards? Or Silva?
I mean, they could both, but I think that okay. Gundogan is the one who I would expect to just drop a little bit deeper in front of Rodri. Bernardo, I think, is playing so well at the moment that I think that he's kind of owning that right flank spot.
Yeah. The exciting thing for Foden, the exciting thing for Bernardo Silva too, and I pulled up just the match stats for Silva versus Foden against Watford. So we're talking about one single match.
Yep.
Where Bernardo just blows Foden out of the water is the number of touches, like 80 touches for Bernardo Silva to 62 for Foden, and Silva's turning all of these touches into successful dribbles, successful take-ons, and he is just on the ball so much more than these other Man City midfielders that are competing for our FPL attention. And I feel like that's improving your odds of your fantasy player being involved in attacking points the more they are on the ball. So this is something that I feel like the reputation that Bernardo Silva has had in FPL is, sure, he's a really great dribbler, often on the ball and helping the team, but he never is involved in those final moments that convert to FPL points. Well, I think we have to tip our hat to Nick Wright, because now it's all coming, coming together. Probably by virtue of, like, this is what happened with Gundogan last season. It's like nobody believed that Gundogan was going to replace Kevin De Bruyne and get all of the FPL points, but he did.
Right.
And it was pretty easy for us to come around to that. So it should be just as easy, if not doubly easy, for us to come around on Bernardo.
Also, and I actually thought you were about to go this way, but I think the other thing about last season is that you had Sergio Aguero, right? You had a forward, like a proper forward, and you had Jesus playing as a forward. Jesus is all over the place at this point. Every flank, and sometimes centrally, and you know, it's very
on the bench.
And on the bench often as well, right? I mean, he's missed a lot of matches. I mean, he's been benched 1, 2, 3. I think it's 4 times already this season. So, you know, quite a lot, 4 out of 15 for your ostensibly only forward. And so I think without a forward, it does probably change the way we have to look at all of these midfielders. Right. But I think Bernardo in particular, I mean, he's only 7.5 million, right? So he's still extremely cheap, and he's great form, and they have this amazing run of fixture. I mean, just to quickly tell everybody, you know, it's Wolves at home this Saturday, Leeds at home on Tuesday, Newcastle away on the following Sunday, Leicester at home. Leicester are just like shipping goals right now. Then a question from another patron about Andrew Sigel about whether we should be targeting Leicester's defense right now in matches. And it kind of feels that way. And then Brentford away in game week 20. So it's you know, it's a great run. That, you know, it kind of makes me worried. It's such a good run that we're definitely going to see some rotation out of that squad, but it kind of doesn't matter. You just have to, you know, hope that they start 4 to 5 or something.
Zinchenko is the guy to get, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. Just be prepared. Keep Zinchenko there, you know,
put him in your back pocket.
Dust him off, you know, when you need him. So I'm very much on the Bernardo train. I mean, Foden, I find appealing, but it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, it just feels like he's not quite as essential to the lineup as Bernardo. And so I think we could see, I mean, Foden is a great player. And so I don't mean to, they're all great players. Everyone in Man City, all the players we're talking about are fantastic players. Gundogan too. But I think that there's a stronger likelihood that he kind of misses some matches over the next few weeks. And he's .6 more expensive than Bernardo. And I'm just not sure you're getting .6 more out of Foden right now than you are from Bernardo.
Yeah, if you take my same comparison I was doing with Foden and Bernardo just for this game week that's passed, and I do the same with Bernardo versus Mason Mount, Mason Mount is right up there, if not exceeding Bernardo's level of touches, especially touches in the opponent's half and passes received. So Mason Mount has to be considered even above Bernardo Silva at this point for when he is playing for Chelsea. He is as involved as anybody in the attack. Now, I think the question for Mason Mount is what I kind of brought up earlier, is how I'm prioritizing defense versus attack. And Chelsea, just they're just not going to score a lot of goals, it seems, over the course of the next month. So yeah. If I've got a place in my attack, I would definitely favor a Man City midfielder over Mason Mount, because I'm just going to focus on investing in the Chelsea defense. And that City defense is like, you cannot trust them. There is some woeful mistake every match that they're going to make. It's insane.
Yeah. What were you saying last night about Pep, and he, you just don't think he cares about clean sheets, right?
I think I heard something that somebody suggested practicing defensive tackling, and he I don't know if he promptly fired that person who brought that up, but he is 100% not interested in which is interesting, because all of the pressing is how can we break up the play and tackle the ball away from the opposition. But I don't think if City win 5-2, he's happy. He's as happy as if they win 5-0. I don't think he gives a crap about clean sheets.
So I mean, I think that some of us will be in a spot where we can only get one of Mount, one of Bernardo, one of Gundogan. I suppose Jared Bowen can be part of this conversation as well, although he's cheap enough that there are routes to get him. It's easier to solve the Bowen problem. Saka, Benrahma, Damari Gray, those players all turn into Bowden fairly easily if you need him. I don't feel like you do, honestly, still. I just don't totally trust. I mean, I know he had a great match against Chelsea. I had a goal and an assist and could have had even more, right? I mean, Antonio served him a great ball on a platter. And I don't want to blame him too much for that, because he was basically at full speed, right? And just kind of couldn't quite get there in time.
I think the thing with Bowen and what's so appealing about him, if you compare him to other West Ham midfielders like Benrahma, Bowen is just ceaselessly positive. He is always pushing forward. He has that.
Yeah.
He seems to have that killer instinct that you look for in others. And you see it most with Jared Bowen. So I think he's appealing for that. But I tend to agree, he's not a priority. If you do get him in, I don't think it's a bad move, but I wouldn't be expecting consistent returns from him.
So if I was to rank these, Jota, Bernardo, Mount, Foden, Gundogan, Bowen, I think that would be my order.
Yep, that tracks with our conversation. I have no changes to submit, says Festive Brandon.
I would consider Bowen over Gundo, right? Because you'd save 1. Whatever million, and that could be that money can be reinvested in other spots. With the Tony situation, right? With another million in a couple of weeks, you could turn Tony into Patrick Bamford. And that could be very useful.
Or preferably Ollie Watkins. I'd go for the better team in that scenario.
Sure, sure.
We love you, Patrick.
Leeds this year, Brandon.
I know, Tabula Rasa. I thought Leeds were great last season, and I'm trying to go a clean slate. I think they're terrible this season.
You're always playing "Don't Let Me Down" loudly on the on the speakers when we log on.
I think that's a good adjustment. Bowen gets ahead of Gundogan by rights.
Final question from Just Gabriel in this midfield section. He says, are Bowen and Antonio's returns inversely related? Do you expect the returns to revert back to Antonio in the upcoming fixtures? Is having both viable?
I don't know.
Wow. I'm stumped.
I am stumped. I guess it's if the question is if it's viable, I suppose it is. Is it preferable? I don't think so. Yep. What's curious about the turn for Antonio is he has reverted to what we have seen from all number nines in the Premier League this season. He has gone from, hey, my job is to score goals, to now, hey, we've been watching Olivier Giroud highlights for the last few months, and my job is to play with my back to goal and lay it off to all of the wing backs.
I mean, maybe like it's overdue, right? I mean, Olivier Giroud won a World Cup doing that, right? Like they yeah. they crushed it, right? Like they you know, like where they breezed through a World Cup where they just had a big guy up front who was really smart and played in all his wonderful midfielders, you know. And so maybe it was kind of inevitable that this would be more of a, you know, Pep has been getting there, but he was still traditionally playing with at least one central forward whose job was to score goals, you know. I mean, especially Aguero. So yeah, but I think you're right. Yeah.
But having said that, I do think Antonio is enough for me. Until we see, like, West Ham do have it in them to become a consistent, or scoring two goals a game type of team, like we've seen it this season. But I feel like, you know, if you've got all these fixtures to play as well, you can't just be going so hard for 90 minutes in like one tactical attack. They're going to have to do some energy conservation. I don't know what that means for Antonio's minutes, because they do not have another number nine in that squad, as far as I know.
I mean, they were kind of like resting him during the European matches, right? But now, like with all these festive fixtures, it feels like, although he looked great in the Chelsea match, he looked better than he had in a while. So I mean, it's just incredible that they have two wins, 3-2 over two of the top teams in the league in these home matches. I mean, there really are, getting back to the kind of like having fun with fantasy. I mean, the other thing, I was kind of annoyed at myself after that morning match, because I found myself being very grumpy because my double up for Chelsea did not work out. And I felt like it sort of blinded me to what was a really interesting match that had a kind of spectacular, I mean, obviously it was a cross, but just like they have that kind of fluke crazy moment. It was exciting and interesting, you know, whether you want to call it good or bad or not, it was definitely exciting and fun. Yes. And it's the kind of like, I didn't start playing fantasy sports and then become a fan of the Premier League. I was a fan of the Premier League, and then I started doing fantasy sports because it sort of supplemented that. And I really do not want to go through the holidays this year being so obsessed with my fantasy team that I don't enjoy fun moments like West Ham beating the best teams in the Premier League all the time this year. It's just so cool. You know, it's really awesome. I mean, I don't think they're going to win the league or anything like that, but they're hanging in there, you know. I mean, they're above Spurs, Man United, and Arsenal on the table. So it's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Let's switch gears to Manchester United and answer a few questions here and get a read on our thoughts. So first match under Ragnick, it was nice to see Mason Greenwood back on the pitch, but you know, he started with Ronaldo, who we weren't even sure was going to be fit to play.
Right.
But he clearly, Ragnick is saying, I'm going to put some faith in you up top. I mean, okay. Yeah. So what'd you think? What were your takeaways from Man United's 1-0 win today?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, I think that Dalot is the one that I'm sort of, I mean, the defense in general, I'm sort of like, okay, do we have to think about this again? You know, it never really made sense that they were quite as poor as they were. And I think it probably came down to structure, right? Or lack of it, you know, and that if you just give people clear roles and a little more structure. I mean, like, you know, like Wan-Bissaka, who Dalot has kind of displaced, at least for the moment, is a great recovery. I mean, he's a great defender, you know, in some ways, but it's also like, it's sort of all he's doing, right? And then it's sort of like when he gets the ball, you know, going, moving down the pitch, it's like, it's never clear that he like had a plan or like a remit, you know, like for what he was supposed to do when he got down there. Yeah. And it's not surprising that Dalot's been able to, you know, fill in there. And I wonder, it was only 4.4 million, by the way. So that's like it's a full on like Livermento replacement player to consider. I mean, as far as the midfield goes, as far as Ronaldo goes, I mean, I really do want Ronaldo back. I mean, they play Norwich this weekend. You know, it's, and so this goes back to the Champions League thing for me too, because what I would ideally do is fix, is not take a hit, fix the Tony problem, like grit my teeth and keep Kane, who's playing a Brighton team that may not have a healthy center back this upcoming weekend, right? And not go for Ronaldo until the midweek matches. But it's nerve-wracking because I could just so easily move straight from Kane to Ronaldo, right? I could just do it as we're talking right now. I have all the I've got this big forward spot right there, and it's pretty easy to I could just take care of that. But it doesn't really solve the other bigger problems right now, which is that I have Rafinha way to Chelsea and I have Tony not in my lineup right now.
Well, let me put it this way. Are those big enough problems? Sure. The strategy is always fix your weakest link, but are those, are Rafinha and Tony big enough problems to take you away from the potential game week upside of getting Ronaldo in for this match?
The only thing that would throw me off would be if Ronaldo played 90 minutes in the Champions League, because then that would be three consecutive matches in 10 days that he played 90 minutes in. And that would make me worried that he wouldn't play in the Norwich match this weekend. And so then I might, you know, I mean, I don't want to be like fear-based, but I just want to be strategic about it. Right. It's like, if there's a chance that he's not going to play, I'd rather keep Kane for that match. I mean, but now we have to talk about Kane a little bit. You can't talk about Ronaldo without talking about Kane. He is so bad right now. I mean, he's doing good things that are helping Spurs win, but from a fantasy perspective, he is not. I feel like I always have to give that kind of context, right? We're talking about fantasy here. These players are all world class, obviously. But from a fantasy perspective, he is just not delivering. And he looks injured, honestly. Either he's old or he's injured. I don't know what's going on, but he looks like he's lumbering out there, way behind the attack. Yeah. Like just
a 28-year-old acting like he's like 40, like he's the age of Zlatan or something like that.
Yeah, it looks like he's in like a rec league game, you know, and it's like he's sort of like, it's not that he's not, he always tries hard. I mean, that's one of the reasons we all like Kane, right? Is that he's like, he always gives his best, but it just feels like he doesn't have it in him. And whether that's an emotional psychological thing, like he just doesn't want to be there and he still feels kind of resentful that he is or what. I mean, I don't know. Like there's a photo of him very happy with Davinson Sanchez, like excited for him when he scored that goal. So I don't think he's like just drifting through these matches or not caring, but and by the end of the second half of that Norwich match today, he was just shooting from anywhere. It was just like, all right, I'm just going to keep shooting until finally I get lucky and one of these balls goes in. But it's just so painful to see Son just awesome, you know, on all the free kicks, on all the corner kicks, run all over the place, super involved in everything. I mean, I see some people talking about whether they want to drop Son to fund other moves. And I'm like, don't do that. Like, just hold on. Like, he's in really good form right now. They've clearly, everyone seems like they've jumped a level for Spurs except for Kane. And that makes me worry that it is more of a fitness or whatever. Like, he's lost a little spread. I don't know if we're in like the full like Fernando Torres zone here where it's just like he's just lost his legs, you know, but that's, it kind of feels that way a little bit maybe.
Yeah, and the festive period is not bad for Spurs. Brighton, no center backs, as you said. Leicester are terrible. And Liverpool are going to throw a few people off in game week 18. But following that is Palace, Southampton, Watford, and then the North London Derby when we get back from the winter break.
So it's Duffy and Webster, by the way, who are out for Brighton. So Duffy has been an intermittent starter, but Veltman is probably still not quite ready to play. Although I guess he played 77 minutes, so he did get some minutes. So but Webster. So maybe they're not going to be that. They've got Dan Byrne. They've got.
Well, I see. Dunk has an injury as well. He's got a complaint with his knee. Ben Dinnery says picked up a knee injury at the back end of the game.
Okay, so he's not flagged on the site, but so we'll see what. yeah, we'll see what's happening there. I'm not sure it makes a difference, though. I mean, if Kane can't score against Norwich or Brentford, for that matter, yeah. And doesn't really even look honestly that close to scoring, then I mean, I he had like one breakaway chance against Brentford, didn't do much with it. I don't know if he had a single good chance. He had a shot from outside the box that in today's match that Krill made a pretty good save on. But I mean, you know, it's a shot outside the box. Like those are, you know, it wasn't like he like went top bins, you know, it was he just rolled it, you know, and then Krill got there in time. So I don't know. So, I mean, what do you just think about Kane right now? I mean, I feel like I've just talked like for endlessly about Kane. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's not a good time to be a Kane owner, and yeah, totally agree with the Sun assessment. And we've been using terms like budget to describe these midfielders like Foden or Bernardo or Jota. They're not necessarily budget the way a lot of our teams are set up right now. So I think you need that money. Kane has got to go so you can buy some of these hot properties in the midfield.
Or he moves to Ronaldo, right? It's one of the or other, that. Right? Yeah. And so
right.
The thing about the difference between Kane and Ronaldo is with Kane, I don't have any faith that he's going to like just totally figure it out. I mean, of course he could score a goal this Sunday. Like he could always score a goal, but it doesn't feel like he's the player that he used to be, at least from a fantasy perspective. And Ronaldo, the concern was never that he looked old and slow. The concern was that the team wasn't set up in a way where it all kind of, you know, was cohesive and like they could all kind of help each other. Everybody got, you know, the ball. And I think he had the most shots in the match today, right? He didn't score a goal, but he, you know, so he's still, yeah, he's heavily involved. And I don't think that, you know, I would take today's result and read anything into it from a, you know, it does not turn me off Ronaldo that he didn't score in this Palace match. And so, yeah, Palace have had some heartbreakers recently, by the way, Brent. Mostly late draws that turned into losses. I guess that was what happened in the Leeds match too. So with Ronaldo, I have utmost faith that if you just give him the glimmer of an opportunity, he can score. Mm-hmm. And with Kane right now, I feel like give him the glimmer of opportunity, he probably still isn't scoring. And I guess that's really the big difference.
Right. Okay. So anything else we need to cover with Manchester United? Like I see this further questions about their defense. FPL Donnie says, I've been so burnt by Shaw, I don't think I'll ever go back, but is Dalot cheap in what could be a solid defense? I'm thinking about De Gea even more than these defenders. I think Dalot is interesting because of that 4.4 price tag, but De Gea being a great shot stopper, you can cultivate some save points, etc. And if clean sheets are truly going to come for Manchester United, I feel like he's going to be a Ramsdale like asset.
Yeah, I mean, he's the price is right. It's sort of, I don't know how to feel about De Gea. Just the last couple of years, you know, just it's hard. I mean,
perfect example. You said the buzzword, the buzz phrase.
It's the perfect example of the clean slate thing. Even this season, though, he's had some howlers, you know, but he's also had some great moments. And basically, he kept in the Manchester Derby when the whole team was collapsing. And so I think, I don't know, I don't mind it. I mean, you know, it's a little more than I want to spend on a keeper in general, I think, you know, but they're all getting expensive now. That's part of the problem is that I think, you know, Ramsdale is up to
4.9.
He's at 5 now. He's moved up to 5. So he's actually exactly the same price as Ronaldo. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it, I guess. I mean, you know, it's sort of, he'll always get saves, you know.
Yeah, that's a watch list, though, Donnie, is the Manchester United defense. It's a watch list, so, you know, we'll see.
All right, so, yeah, then one last question, just, you know, on the Kane front. I mean, other Kane replacements, I think you kind of already got into this a minute ago, which is basically you go Ronaldo or you go down to, an Ollie Watkinson. The forward spot is like you could consider just going all the way down to Dennis, right? Or King and just saving 7 million. And you know, and then going 5 at the back. I think that would be a reasonable way to go too. I mean, Ronaldo's ownership is not gonna get so high that if he goes off, it's just gonna crush you. You know, so I think you could, especially if you had two transfers, I kind of like that. I mean, I don't know. So I mean, like Vardy for 1 week, I wouldn't really advocate for that. You know, what about Lukaku? If he starts this weekend, is that something you'd consider?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment, because you know, that is to go with the theme. I feel like we all got drawn in by Lukaku's a new striker. He's stepped up a level in Serie A, and this is all going to come together. And it did not come together. So based on what we have seen this season, we're in the same situation that we are with, not exactly the same situation as we are with Kane, but I think that overriding concern with Chelsea that there's just not going to be enough goals to be scored. And Mason Mount is super appealing because he will take a free kick and a corner kick, and he will have the more opportunities to connect on an FPL point where Lukaku, I feel like he's even competing for his spot at the moment.
Yeah, didn't really impress when he came on. Was it at halftime? I think it was at halftime. So, I'm not into that either. I mean, if their run was just beyond incredible, then maybe I'd consider it. But it is. I mean, in a couple of weeks, it gets pretty good. I mean, if you went Ronaldo and that just isn't working, or isn't delivered. I mean, let's say Ragnick just goes crazy defensive these first few weeks, right? And it just seems like Man United are just not going to be blowing people away. They do play Watford and Norwich in game weeks 18 and 20. So I guess I'm kind of with you. I don't see Chelsea as a team that's ever going to be like just scoring 5-6 goals a match. It just isn't their style, right? They're not a Man City type team. And so that does depress the value of their attacking assets a little bit. That does, however, make me feel better about just sticking to my guns with my double up on Chelsea defenders though.
Yeah, for sure. Just like those points will come. Don't get too frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's take a break, Brandon, and we'll talk a little bit about game week 16. All right, Brandon, we're back. Game week 16, we talked a lot about players, and until Mo Salah leaves for Africa, honestly, we're not going to talk about captains too much. So I have a new idea for how we're going to look at game week 16, Brandon, and it's three things. One is, number one, the weekend's key FPL watch. What is the most important FPL match this weekend outside of Liverpool? In some ways, actually, Liverpool is less key at this point. Yeah. You have those three players. Those game matches are actually very low impact from a fantasy perspective. It's not really going to affect your rank that much.
Yeah, I guess it is. Manchester City hosting Wolves. And just for all the talk about what's going on with all these exciting midfielders with City. And that it's almost less the watch. It's more what's the lineup going to be. Watch out for what City's midweek lineup is for the Champions League, and that will hopefully instruct what we might see on Saturday. But I think for those of us, and I might be in this boat where I'm going to try to bide my time for one more week on whether I make a Bernardo move. I want to see what transpires in that Wolves match.
I think you're probably right on that one. I think that Chelsea Leeds could be an important match too, just because I don't know. I mean, from my personal experience, Chelsea losing these clean sheets has had a pretty massive impact on my rank. You'd think everybody owns them, but with the Chilwell injury, it's gotten a little more mixed, you know, and so people have just gotten off the double up. And if people still have Rafinha, I think that could be, I'm not sure how many people will start him this week. I mean, as we talked about earlier, he may just have to start for me, depending on whether I want to burn four or not. That's why we talked about the Champions League a little bit too, is that burning four when you don't even know if your Man City player is going to start is just not a great spot to be in. And Rafinha could certainly score a goal on the break. We just saw West Ham do it three times. I mean, not necessarily on the break. I mean, West Ham just, you know, builds up and I guess one of them was on a break. I don't know. I mean, one of them was just kind of like a throw-in that turned into a goal. But all right, so that's number one. Number two, Brandon, is what is this weekend's pure watch? Okay, very low fantasy stakes.
Yeah, I guess it's funny to say Liverpool is low fantasy stakes because that's where my only points come from. But I think Liverpool Aston Villa is a pure watch because all I really want to see is just all the cutaways. It's just Steven Gerrard on the sideline and how weird and meek he might look or how egomaniacal he might look. And also how Aston Villa look against Liverpool, because Aston Villa are... they feel like they're re-energized over Gerrard. So that should be a really fun match.
think the other one is maybe Palace Everton. It's sort of interesting to me that that's in the spotlight window. It's the final match on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be a ton of ownership kind of across the board there. I mean, you've got Conor Gallagher, but he just dropped in price today. So he's sort of, that moment might be passing.
We've turned the page on Gallagher.
Yeah. Three consecutive blanks for him. So, but that actually could be kind of a fun match. I love matches like that where it's sort of two teams that are both between 8 and 14 on the mm-hmm. table. You know, the usually in those matches, the both teams just go for it. And so you often get some kind of wild score lines.
Yeah, both teams in a slump, and one of them is going to walk away not in a slump anymore. Who will it be?
I know. Let's see how Everton look tomorrow. I'm hoping they look a little bit better. And then, Brennan, this one could be tricky, you know, mm-hmm. but if you're busy this weekend, you know, it's 20 hours of Premier League matches, right? Or, you know, the 10 matches, all 2 hours each. What is this weekend's match that you would recommend people ignore?
Oh, definitely Leicester Newcastle, because nobody likes Newcastle right now, and Leicester are in miserable form. And, you know, Harvey Barnes is looking better and better. James Maddison was piquing some people's interest coming into this game week, but just like, don't do it. Stop doing it. The wheels are coming off there at the moment. So I just think there's nothing that's going to come from that match.
I think that Arsenal-Southampton, even though I'm an Arsenal supporter, that one probably is the one that I'm actually kind of interested in most of these matches. There's a lot of interest. I mean, maybe I guess Brighton Spurs, I'm not particularly interested in, just maybe, but I'm bringing my Kane baggage to the table. Mm-hmm. But Arsenal Southampton, that just feels like that's just so clearly going to be like a 1-0, you know? And so it's just hard to get excited about that one.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. We didn't talk about the Friday match, which I think will be a lot of fun. Brentford Watford. I think that could be a battle of the Fords.
The battle of the Fords.
Ford Derby.
Yeah, who did the assembly line better? That's what we're struggling to find out. This will be, it's Mbeumo versus Emmanuel Denis. So I think Denis is going to get a lot of ownership over the next few days because of this Tony COVID case. And Mbeumo is probably going to come in smartly for some managers who think Mbeumo is cheap, easy cover for Tony because he's going to be playing in the number nine.
I like Tony COVID, by the way. It sounds like the worst Halloween costume ever. All right. Well, that's your lot for this week. Thank you to everybody for listening to the pod. We will be back on Thursday with a preview pod for our Patreon supporters. If you want to become a supporter, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Good luck this week. I think it's a tricky one. I would recommend people wait until Wednesday before making their decisions, though. But Brennan, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Oh, I'd love to. Big thanks to our producer patrons, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn. Andy, thanks for your patronage. Martin Savage, Brian T. DeBig Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Schindler, Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skoging, Paul Hertzig, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Bluno Stu, Mikey Uong, Bruce Kersham, Sham Shower. That's Sam to you, everybody out there. Rich Evans, Future Media Group, FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shub Majoria, Rom Frosk, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazaros Yunos, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb Robbie, Todd Byerly. This list sounds inordinately long this week, Josh. Alper Paxoy, Martin Ospeth, Lee Hickman, Valger Paulson Kruger, Jazz Binning, Francis Moore, Managed by Lasso, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, and The Saint. Listen, you support the podcast every time you click play. And if you're not subscribed, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters. Our website is alwayscheating.com, where you can find all this information and much more.
We've got a new logo coming soon, Brandon. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Yes, that is exciting. We saw the rough sketches, the rough schematics of the new podcast artwork. That's exciting.
It's exciting. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.